TLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown, glad to have you here. For the first time since 1999, that's 16 years ago, the incumbent mayor of Indianapolis is not running for re-election. This is an open seat. This is a wide open election for mayor. And has been the practice of this program ever since we began in the first week of February 2004. Whenever there has been an election and whenever we have interviewed candidates, we have always made it a practice to invite every candidate whose name is on the ballot to appear on this program. And virtually all, not every candidate, but virtually all candidates have appeared. And this week, because I think the interest in who will be the next mayor of Indianapolis, I think is higher than a lot of people think, because it is an open seat. We decided that in honor of ending our 11th year on the air and beginning our 12th, that we would invite the five major candidates for mayor on this program. All but one accepted our invitation late Friday afternoon, about an hour after I got off the air. I got a note from the people representing Chuck Brewer, who is now the Republican endorsed candidate for mayor, saying that unfortunately he would not be able to join me on the show next week, meaning this week. We'll be in touch to get it scheduled at a later date. I met Mr. Brewer over the weekend at the Republican slating convention. I expressed my disappointment to him that he couldn't join all the other candidates this week, and let him know that he can't wait, you know, weeks and months before coming and talking to our African-American community. So we'll see when Mr. Brewer comes, when all the other candidates will be here. We begin today with one of the two candidates running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. He is Larry Vaughn, and he joins me live. Larry, welcome.
Praise the Lord, Amos.
Thank you for being here. So why are you running?
Here's why I'm running, because I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about that they're being done wrong and so forth, and that they have no way out of this situation. You know, it was said one time that every government, all governments, eventually fall into the gulf of despotism. When I see what's happening now and having a close look on it and being able to observe both the lawmaking that goes on the Capitol building, also the laws and bylaws that are passed by our city county council, I see and I understand that we need to have a definite hostile takeover in this city, and we need change. And I also have looked at the numbers to find that how suppressed the vote is in these primary, so-called primary elections, where only 8% of the votes came out the last time. And in fact, I've heard several people on Democrat and Republican side say that that's the only thing that the both parties agree on, is a suppressed the turnout in the primary. So I'm not saying that means anything, but the reason I'm running is to make a radical change in this city. I know how to do it. I've got 30 years of on-the-job training and experience and observation. And I feel like that we can pull a hostile takeover if we get together and just slip it right in on them, because they're not waiting for it. They think that it's going to go along as it always has. We can change that and liberate our city from these despots.
Larry, people may have heard you on the radio over the years, or they may have seen you redressing grievances downtown, but they may not know who is Larry Vaughn. Who is Larry Vaughn?
Here I am. I got out of school at Manual in 1975. Of course, I had a job making $2.10 an hour. I moved out of my home when I was 17. So I've been out here for 58 years. I'll be 59 in March. So what I've done is I've worked with corporations before in my early times, but I seen that that wasn't going to work out. Then I went to be a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Practiced that trade for a while, and then I had a choice to make. Either I was going to go into a one-on-one apprenticeship with the master glass beveler, which is what I did, and that took up 7 years of my life doing that apprenticeship, which I have learned the trade that has sustained me throughout my life and enabled me to do other things like do studies and so forth. I love books. I have a complete library and my mentors, Jack Brown and Bertha Ashcraft, both judges, which I learned from. And Bertha gave me her entire library, plus my other collection of books, over 5,000 volumes that I draw from and that I read articles from the 1800s and the 20s, and surprised to find, but not really surprised, that the same thing that happened then is repeating itself right now. So I want to kind of be in there so I can introduce this path to despotism that we're on right now.
Larry, is it fair to call you a self-made man?
I'm a self-made man, and I'm not ashamed of anything I've done. I'm an artist, and I practiced my glass trade for 40 years. I'm a master craftsman. I've been a sculptor for 20 years now, and I've dealt with painting and visual criticism now for 15 years.
So you're also a Renaissance man.
I'm a Renaissance man. I know how to measure. I know how to cut.
All right. So now people may have now a better idea of who Larry Vaughn is, mm-hmm. and you've explained why you're running. So if you're elected mayor, what would you be doing differently than the folk that are in there now?
I'll take crime first, Amos, okay. And there's three major parts that we're going to deal with on the crime situation. With IMPD right now, they should have a commissioner set in place to have jurisdiction on their budget. You see me down at the city council all the time talking about how the mayor has the ability right now to rake his hands through any funding or appropriation that the city council gives to public safety. He has already raked his hands through there for over $80 million this year. He has a de facto officer in place, which was Roy Riggs. I think, that anytime he wants money from public safety, he goes to Roy and says, meet me at Shoney's, Roy. Him and Height show up at Shoney's. They go to the buffet table. They sign the paperwork. Hey, Roy, I need $20 million. And like for the one issue that's on the table now, the Rock Center, $18 million paid for an abandoned building which was condemned, and the title work shows that the people that got these buildings, the Koontzes, have got that building for free from the city because it was abandoned and condemned, and they turn right around and sell it to the city for $18.5 million, which they'll probably end up having to pay. So stuff like that, and it's just got to stop, Amos, because we have other things that we can spend this money on, and the crime deal, after we get a commissioner in place, he will be able to receive those funds from the city county council and take those funds into his bosom and not worry about any mayor coming to say, I need $20 million. That's what I'm going to do with the crime deal, and we're going to let IMPD, the lawmen, run their own business and have their own lodge brothers to present a commissioner from their ranks to be approved by the city county council and signed off on by the mayor, which will only set the policy for IMPD, but as far as the money goes, we don't need that temptation to tempt another mayor into misappropriating funds and what I feel like is really embezzlement.
Your opportunity to ask questions of the candidate, Larry Vaughn, running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890. Hit the keyword Amos as you dial 37890 and then ask your question. Let me start today with Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hello. Hi. Amos.
Yes.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time, and I know the procedures that you put out for people to go through. And one of them is you used to give out their Taylor's name in the mayor's office, which she's not down there, and most he went and moved on to the Hoosier Lottery. Mm-hmm. But they got a lady named Hannah that took her place. And you can call down there and try to get Hannah, and she never comes to the phone, and she won't return your call. Same thing with Ogden Williams. How can he be running for mayor, and he won't come to the phone, and he won't return your phone call?
Hey, Henry, look, they're not going to do anything because they can't do anything because their masters have told them not to do anything. They are taking our money and collecting it into the general fund and then giving it to their friends for $18.5 million for a company that makes bumper stickers. So just think about what you're doing when you go to the poll. And I just like to advise everybody, you talk about vote and you talk about supporting a candidate, the most thing you can do is go right to the clerk's office website. Myla has the site open for you, ready to receive you, ready to receive your application. You go register right now, get it out of the way, and you know what to do. I didn't ask for votes the last time. I'm asking now.
Let me go back and follow up on what Henry asked, Larry. If you were elected mayor, how do you handle a resident of Indianapolis calling his or her mayor's office trying to get help with a problem or get something solved in a neighborhood?
Henry's making the wrong call, Amos. Also, our Department of Public Works. When the City County Council appropriates funds for the Department of Public Works, what happens is the mayor automatically takes jurisdiction over that funding, and he gets to cherry pick who gets the work done in their neighborhood. What it needs to have again is a commissioner and a hierarchy set up in that department where you will call them directly to have your work done and take politics out of it. But as we have it now, our parks are closing down because they've been made a part of this situation, and anytime the mayor wants money, he can go immediately and say, hey, buddy,
So your position, part of it is making sure that if money is budgeted for the Parks Department, it stays in the Parks Department and nobody is moving that for some other purposes.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let me go to Bobby at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I'd like to ask him about right to work. What would he do about right to work? Would he get rid of it and bring back the old way?
Hey, listen, who is it, Amos?
This is Bobby.
Bobby, I was over at the State House many days protesting against right to turn this state into a slave labor state. The only thing we can do about right to work here in this city is to have a situation where I've seen many times all you people out there to come for a minimum wage. This town should have a $15 minimum wage immediately. And if whoever the city county council is, if I'm the mayor, they're going to go along with me because, we can't have people going to work and doing slave labor. I mean, it's just the whole amalgam of despotism that's being formed in this city. They know very well that you cannot feed your family on $10 an hour, but that's what they expect you to do while they set up and embezzle your money to give it to their friends. And embezzlement's a strong word, but when one of our officers who are duly elected do not do what they're supposed to do with appropriated money, then it's a class A misdemeanor, which is embezzlement. So I just think that we need to have our funds appropriated. When you say you're going, the city county council, when you say you're going to give $250,000 to or $300 or $400 million to DPW, that money goes to their commissioner, and he can protect that money, and he can sue anybody that tries to take it from him or tries to get involved with his purpose. So I just think the money needs to be straightened out in this city, and I'm prepared to do that. Like I said, I'm familiar with the forms and procedure of this city, and I'm municipal corporations and private corporations, quasi corporations also, and I have two attorneys in mind that's going to help me pull this coup off.
I appreciate it, Bobby. Let me go to Robert at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos? Hi. And Larry?
Hi, Robert.
How you doing? It is wonderful that you are a candidate for mayor. And I wish you all the luck. I'm definitely going to vote for you, and I'm going to encourage everyone that I know in the Brightwood area to vote for you because you have a plan. The rest of the candidates should just not even come on the show because you have laid out everything that need to be done. And this hadn't happened just yesterday or overnight. This is systemic. And as long as they can get away from him, nobody call a hand like that you plan to do, they'll continue to do it. So good luck, and I'll be supporting you 1,000%.
Yes, it is an abomination that they won't come here, and they won't come down to City County Council either.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Let me go to Ms. B at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air. What's up?
I just want to make a comment.
Yes,
Larry,
ma'am.
I will vote for you, but the other people that's going to run, none of them are qualified in my book. It's only Larry. Okay?
All right. Appreciate it. Let me go to Mayhem at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, I got two questions. Hey, Larry, the first part that you begin, as mayor, even though the Democrats put that in so the Republicans can finish it off, as mayor, you will have no jurisdiction to change law. And second, I want to know, do you believe in eminent domain? What's going on out west? Ain't nobody talking about it. The IU and some other people are going to, sending notes out, want to buy houses up there.
Well, I lived in that neighborhood many years ago when I attended school five, but when you're talking about eminent domain, it has to be for a public purpose. And also, when you talk about, what else did he say, Amos?
I think he was talking about that. He was also talking about that he didn't think he would have any jurisdiction over anything because state law restricts what cities can and cannot do.
Here's my case, Amos. The city of Indianapolis is the economical engine for this state. We need home rule. We need to go and plead the same case that Pro Tem Long and Brian Bosma are pleading with their Article 5 convention that they're supporting. They've signed on to it. They want to be able to rule their domain. This is the largest engine in this city. And I would test their statutes that they're raining down us. They're raining down legalized despotism on us. Look at Jim Merritt, one of the chief despots in the Senate. That's what he is. I mean, I've looked at him for many a year. He's nothing but tried to rain down legislation on this city to put himself in a position to come and loot and pillage. That's what he's been doing. But we need to make the argument, just like Edmund Burke did, for the liberation of America and the liberation of Ireland before the House of Lords. He made those arguments. They're still in print today, and the factors are the same set up in this situation. Indianapolis needs home rule so that we can make our own laws, and that the state of Indiana would not turn our legislative assembly into a process for political agitation, which it is now.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is, we're talking with Larry Vaughn. He is running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. Tomorrow, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, who's running for the Republican nomination. She will be here. Joe Hogsett, who is running for the Democratic nomination. He'll be here on Thursday. Olgin Williams, the current deputy mayor, who is running for the Republican nomination, will be here on Friday. Your opportunity. Because their names are on the ballot. When you go and vote, if you're voting in the Democratic primary, you'll see Larry Vaughn, you'll see Joe Hogsett's name. If you're running for the Republican primary, you'll see Olgin Williams, and you'll see Jocelyn Tandy Adonde's name, and there's some other names as well. This is your opportunity to hear from the candidates and ask them the question on the issues that are important to you in this city. 239-1310. 239-1310. When we come back, we'll ask Larry Vaughn about education. We'll ask him about, he talked a little bit about the minimum wage, feeling the minimum wage ought to be $15 an hour. We'll ask him, how do you bring jobs back to the people that live here, not try to import people from out of town to come and take the jobs? This afternoon's with Amos after these.
This is Congressman Andre Carson of Indiana's 7th Congressional District. You're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light.
When Steve Goldsmith was mayor, Larry Vaughn, he was the first really to raise education as an issue from the perspective of the mayor of Indianapolis. Now there are a number of charter schools run by chartered by the mayor's office. If you became mayor of Indianapolis, what is your role, or what's your position on education?
My only role would be is to, the first day I was elected, I would start the process to abolish each and every charter school that the mayor has jurisdiction over and send those kids right back to the district where they belong, where they can get the funding to have an education in somewhat peaceful surrounding and not be preyed on by a bunch of tramp corporations that come in the state for one reason, to extract money. So if you had the guy on about education a couple weeks ago, Amos, he told the truth. If people can't accept the truth, I call these schools junkie factories, because that's what they are. Even when I look at the situation with the pre-K, those are junkie factories, because they have people around to stigmatize your kids with some mental retardation factor, and then that ruins their life. They will never get a job. In fact, it's worse than a felony. So I would do that. I would send them right back to the common schools. And the only situation that I would have with the school district is maybe to have someone appointed to watch over them and make sure that their policies was not a threat to this city. I mean, when you have a bunch of tramp corporations in the city taking your mine trust, taking your people and your taking your resources, which I consider these people, these young people, that will build this city in the future and turn them into junkies, that's an existential threat to this city and everybody that lives in this city. So I would abolish them immediately, and I would send all these kids, the only program that I would have, and that's the last program dealing with education other than a little oversight, is to get each and every one of these kids that are in these junkie factories back into the common school system, which is the district, where they can demand their funding. I mean, we not only take a great chance with these junkie factories, but when they go out of business, they take all the money that's in their coffers, and they are really a threat to this city.
Let me go back to the phones and Chris at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Larry.
How you doing, man?
I was at the conference that you had. Well, you didn't have it. The conference that they had at Addicts for the Blue Car Indy. I really like what you just said about the schools. I really, really like that. But I wanted to know, is there anything that you could do about the Blue Car Indy program that they implemented with this extra tax that they've put on the citizens? And if so, you know, could you explain, could you overturn that or let us know what you can do about that?
It's avoidable.
I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, that's avoidable contract because it is done in contrary to any statutory enactments that they have here in the state of Indiana. The Indiana Regulatory Commission has no jurisdiction over private businesses. This is an attempt to let them in on a new way to raise our taxes from behind the back. What they've done is, with the help of Senator Merritt, the despot from the Senate, to come over here with his people that Mayor Ballinger bought back from France, and to have another burden put on this city and a burden put on the ratepayers who cannot afford to pay that. But, yes, that in my testimony between the IRC, I said that they did not have jurisdiction over private companies, only on the way that the utilities that are public trust help their situation for rate increases.
Let me go back to the phones. Thank you, Chris. Let me go back to the phones. And Lewis, hi there.
How you doing, Mr. Larry?
How you, Lewis?
Vaughn, and hello, Amos.
Hi.
I had a question, Mr. Larry. What is your plan or focus for economic development for the city?
Here's my plan for economic development is to find the first of all my attorneys that I'm going to hire to find out who is bleeding this city. And then when I find that out, I'm going to put them on the scale and see if they're doing more good than they are bad. And then maybe they keep their tax abatements. Maybe they don't. But for my economic development is to cut this crime. And you can look at Article 9, Section 3 of our Constitution to find out what's going to happen in that case. Because it's totally legal. Any county can do it. We're going to have a situation where everybody in this town is going to be working, doing something. I don't care if it's dumping out a load of dirt and bagging it up for sale in the spring. But you look at Article 9, Section 3 of the Indiana State Constitution, I could tell you that. But anybody out there needs to look it up for themselves and see what my plan is going to be.
Do you agree with some, Larry, that says we have invested enough in downtown. Downtown development should be able to be done on its own. It's time to redevelop other neighborhoods in the city.
We're going to invest in the city. We're going to invest in all the neighborhoods, and we're going to have a situation set up where everybody in those neighborhoods is going to have an opportunity to work. These sham businesses that are downtown, studied them for many years too. Most of them are sham. Most of them come into existence on a bag, and then when they get in business, they pay no taxes, no sale taxes or anything. Most of them restaurants rake all the money off the table. Then when it's unprofitable, they close the door and they just turn back over to the city or whatever.
All right, back to the phones. And Judy, hi there.
How you doing?
Fine.
Hi, Larry.
How you doing, ma'am?
I tape you all the time.
Good.
I really hear what you be saying.
I want you to vote for me.
Yes. Larry, I was wondering if I could leave my number with Drew, because I think I would be a benefit for for you.
Well, if you want to be in part of my campaign, like I'm telling everybody now, to go to get on the website of the clerk's office, register to vote. You understand what I'm saying? Right, do that right now. If you got a computer available, or you can call down there. Myla said that she's ready to receive any way you come there to register. She's going to do it. But what you need to do is register to vote. That's going to help me. Then, of course, vote for me. If you see my information on that website, then you decide you want to make a conscious effort to help me, then you can give me a call, and that will happen.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Back to the phones. And Karen, hi there.
Hi there, Amos.
Hi.
How you doing, ma'am?
Right. I just want to make a determination. I can't tell whether you're passionate or you're angry, and I don't think we can afford to have another mayor who can't reach middle ground with people of different opinions.
You know what, ma'am? That's the problem right here. We're reaching too much middle ground, and then that middle ground becomes a little to the left or a little to the right. I'm going to do what's required to get this city back off the track to despotism, and it may hurt some people. Some people may think it's unorthodox or whatever, but there's no passion with me. I don't have any ambitions for anything. No ambition for a new car, no ambition for new clothes, or nothing like that.
But let me come back to what was implicit, Larry, in Karen's question. Because I think what she was trying to say is you may be coming across to some people angry, and I'm sitting here less than 5 feet from you, and I don't feel that.
No.
And partly because I know you, but I think some people listening and hearing you for the first time, and I think you will agree with me, people are taking this election this year seriously. So if people are hearing you and think the way you're talking is, angry, and some who feel that the current administration and it has not been at least willing to listen to people, and particularly the African American community, address that. I understand that you have strong views. How, and I guess the best way is to ask the question, given your strong views, can you have civil conversations with those who disagree with you?
Well, you know, Mayor Ballard have never had civil conversation with the Democrats on the City County Council. My aim is to have a hostile takeover. That's the only reason.
But can you have a civil conversation in the context of in your view, a hostile takeover?
If you mean that if I can talk and be civil with my opponent or anybody else that comes to the table, yes, I do. I'm very versed in how to go to a table and get my way. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Sometimes it's not just Indianapolis. You may be asked to go to Washington or go to other places where other mayors are. So I just want to understand like I said, I can't tell because I'm not looking at you.
It's nothing about passion. Passion is the downfall of everything. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay right here in Indianapolis where I can watch my store, where I can come.
But wait, I understand that point. But mayors have to go where the big money is, and the big money is in Washington. So if you're saying I want to stay here to watch the store, you're going to have trusted people to be able to go and get your money.
I would give testimony for, before Congress, and I have a good relationship with, Minister Carson. So, that's no problem, but I may come off as ruthless and passionate, but, you really want, in a situation that we're in right now, you want somebody that's going to be ruthless on your behalf. And ruthless means a lot of different things, but it does not mean somebody that's not educated and does not know how to express himself and get his point across and not settle for a demur.
So your style would not be like the last 10 seconds of the game last night when the fight started?
No, it's not. It's going to be thoroughly therapeutic.
All right, let me go to Manny at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Fine.
How you doing, Larry?
How you doing, Matt?
Hey, man. I just want to say, man, that I'm behind you 100%, man. You know, I mean, you know, I've been listening to you on the radio also, man, and I think that you're a man with integrity, and you share with us what's on your mind, and you got plenty of good sense and smart. So I applaud you, my brother.
Well, there, I need your vote, but it's there's nothing to be uprile about, let me do the getting uprile for you, because I'm used to doing that, because you know it's all that these people are out here are nothing but bad actors, and they have to be dealt with at the appropriate time.
Yes, sir. And my question is for you, Larry, is I'm looking at our neighborhoods, the size of our neighborhoods. What can the if you got elected in the mayor's office, what can you do about the cleanup of our neighborhoods? Because our neighborhoods are looking terrible, and it just seemed like we just falling by the wayside as far as getting anything done in our neighborhood, but everything else around us is looking beautiful. So what would you do in that case of getting into the mayor's office? And I'll take your call off the air.
Right. I'm giving you some homework to do. Go to Article 9, Section 3 of the state constitution and see the provisions we have there. There
is Article 9.
Article 9, Section 3
of Indiana's Constitution. I appreciate it, Manny. Let me go to Sean at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, my question is to Larry. Larry, I am not a resident of Marion County. I actually live in Harris County, but I work in Marion County. I'm a delivery driver, and you know, one thing I've noticed about Marion County is those roads. The roads are terrible. Somebody may have asked this, but what is your plan for these roads?
As I said one more time. You see me down at this council all the time. I want to give the department the Department of Public Works. I want to give them a commissioner so that when the city county council gives them their money, they can take that money and use it to fix our roads and not have Mayor Ballard or whoever the next mayor is coming to them, punching them in the gut saying, I need $20 million. So that's what I want to cut that out.
Let me go back. If you're elected mayor, how do you make sure that when a contract is let to fix the streets, it's going to last more than 2 years?
Oh, you mean 2 months, Amos. I talked to one of the chief engineer for the city of Indianapolis, and he said under oath twice that when they blacktop a street, it lasts 16 years. He said that two times. And I know over in Prospect in my neighborhood, last October they done the street. They were out there trying to pave it in January. So, hey, look, it's a simple thing. There are different grades of asphalt. There are different grades of any type of building material. Mm-hmm. They have been using a subgrade of material. They have only been putting a layer down a half inch thick over what they take up. So what we need to do, because administrations change, the Department of Public Works, Public Safety should not change. They should have their own commissioners.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is after the same as let me go back to the phones right quick. And Tracy, hi there.
How you doing, Tracy?
Hi, I have a question. There is a House bill in place right now, well, in talks for House Bill 1010, which would appropriate $2 million annually to 211, which is a referral and information service to people connected to social services. You know, it's a line where people can get the help that they need. It's a domestic violence and crisis 24-hour call center. So I want to know what your stance is on that, and what do you plan on doing to help get this funding passed, or what your view is on that? Because not only users use this service, the employees that work there were considered first responders, which means we're at work and getting help for clients no matter what. We're on the same classification as EMTs and firemen. So I want to know what your stance is.
Well, how do you plan on helping getting this passed?
Well,
now, hold on. This is at the state level, so this would be state tax dollars?
Yes, we have no state funding right now.
All right, well,
however, 211, it's only through private donations.
Hold on. See, mayors have nothing to do with state funding.
I will.
But he has influence, so he's a legislator. So okay. I want to know what his stance is
all
as
right,
a mayor.
Hey, listen,
okay. Let me let Larry answer.
I rebuke 211 because it's unnecessary. Because most of the topics and paper taggers they have on that website or when you call them do not exist, or either they don't have funding. Or just go to Article 9, Section 3 of the Indiana State Constitution, and you'll find out what my solution is for this mess.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Larry Vaughn is one of the Democratic candidates for mayor of Indianapolis in the election that is the first Tuesday in May. Come back with more of your calls and emails for Larry after these.
Hi, this is Linda Elsie Clemens, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Mass transit. The reason I bring that up, the bus to Fishers. Fishers says they're not subsidizing the bus anymore. The bus to Fishers is losing money, so after May 1st, there'll be no bus from downtown to Fishers. There's now no bus from downtown to Carmel. Seems to me that puts in jeopardy the whole mass transit thing. What's your position on, if you're elected mayor, on mass transit?
I'm totally against mass transit, Amos.
Does that mean you're against Indigo?
I'm not against Indigo because we need some system here within this town to help people to get to their jobs and do whatever they want and so forth. I rode Indigo for 7 years when I was an apprentice. But what we don't need is another burden on the city that's not going to go through fruition, and it's going to be used not to take any of our residents to jobs in Carmel or Fishers or wherever it may stop, but it's going to be to bring people into the city every day, and of course it's going to be subsidized to take our jobs of the people that live within the city.
239-1310, back to the phones, and Roxy, hi there.
Hi, Roxy.
How are you, Larry and Amos?
Hi.
Hi, I just had a comment for Larry. I think what you are aiming to do as far as running for mayor is awesome. I hear someone that will stand for the people, stand for the city, and I've listened to you previously numerous times when you call into Amos' show, so I appreciate that. We do need someone with a backbone and a rod in their back that will stand and do what is needed for, especially people within the inner city whose voices are not heard. So I know that you would be that voice. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Don at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Don.
How you doing there? Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Hey, your opponent, Joe Hawks, said he's going to be soliciting the support of the black churches. Are you going to solicit their support, and do you think they'll support you? And I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
Hey, look, I don't care about Joe Hawks or nobody else. I'm just saying about myself. And whether or not the black church supports me is irrelevant because I'm not appealing to the black church. They need to go back to their pulpits and preach salvation to their parishioners. What needs to happen is what I told you, this Article 9, Section 3 needs to be, those provisions need to be realized by this county. But here's the deal. With the people going around, it's been a common thing for the black people in our community who feel they have some white person that they want to promote in our community to bring him around with a barrel of chicken and some beer and try to get votes. So if you color people out there are so duped that you want to do that and you want to take your beer and your chicken wing, then go ahead and do it. I don't want your vote anyway. But I'm asking for the parishioners of these mega churches to vote for Larry Vaughn because look at your skin.
All right, back to the phones and Reverend Alexander. Hi there.
How you doing, Reverend?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Actually, the last caller kind of touched on what my question was going to be. Actually, when candidate Vaughn announced his intent to run for mayor a couple of weeks ago on your show, Amos,
mm-hmm.
You made a comment, and I'd ask you to clarify it a little bit more than what you just did. Your comment was that for the black church to not listen to their pastors because their pastors are just out to sell their votes. And I want to know if that's how you truly feel, and if you could just clarify those comments.
You want me to come to that situation? Here's what I'm saying is I'm not asking a pastor to do anything for me. They have their own unique set of problems that they cannot deal with the political problems because their canons will not allow them to. They can't use the correct language. They don't know the correct language. It's a totally different sphere of influence. What I'm talking about is I want your parishioners to vote for me. That's what I'm asking them. When they go behind the petition, when they make their mark, they see my name, and they fill in the oval. That's what I'm asking for. I'm not sweating anybody for money. I'm not asking for any money. I'm used to working by myself. But I've got the, I'm going to change things if I get elected mayor, and I know that by the numbers that I've seen that we can do this and we can change this city. We can change it in 4 years. If it ain't done, you can get rid of me, just like any other bad news.
All right. I appreciate it, Reverend. Let me go to Karen at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos?
Yes.
This is Karen, and I want to let Larry know one thing. He is very rude,
and the way he responded to that young lady a while ago made no sense. She didn't say you were begging for her votes. And as a parishioner, I would not vote for him because he's arrogant and he's been insulting. And it's not necessary. You can get your point across without insulting people.
Well, politics is about ruthlessness.
Yeah, we don't need you, though.
You need somebody on your half that's going to be ruthless.
Let me go to James at 239-1310. Hey there.
Yeah,
how you doing, James?
Wait.
James, whatever phone you're on,
really?
I'm getting a lot of feedback. It sounds
hurt
like
my ears.
It sounds like you're calling from France or someplace. So could you either get out of where the interference is or call me back on a landline. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We've talked about crime. We've talked about neighborhoods. We've talked about jobs. Is there a particular issue that you're passionate about that we've not talked about that you want the community to be aware of?
The passionate thing that I've got over the years by going out and examining our city is our young men, Amos. And I know everybody's going to pray on that. But we need to get our young men and our young women into situations where they're actually learning the realities of life at an early age. I mean, every situation I see them going into is teaching them how to pity-pat or go to a sock hop or go to a dance. I hate stuff like that. In the environment that we're in now, a child should be, from the time he's 3 or 4 years old, learning a trade. That means that he should be out observing men working and doing certain things. And by the time he's 10 or 11, he'll be able to walk on a job and be a helper. So I'm just being reality, Amos. In the future, if we try to rebuild this raggedy city, we're going to need craftsmen to do it. We're going to need help. And we need more and more of our people to know about the level, to know about the square, and our women to know about how to take care and how to nursemaid. This is the things that we came from, that is in our DNA, that we need to accept and not reject. I mean, what are you talking about?
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Reggie right quick at 239-1310. Reggie, you got about a minute.
Yes, sir. Hi, Amos. And hi, Larry.
Hi, Reggie.
Hi. I agree with most of some of what you're saying, and when you touched on how our young men are just falling apart in this city, I agree. We need to do something, but I do agree that it needs to include the churches.
No, it does not.
It needs to include everyone.
No, it does not. It needs to include an institution.
Well, sir, it does because, you know, the churches are our foundation. Without that, we wouldn't be anywhere at this point.
Yeah, we'd be a lot better off in most cases. But let me tell you something. We need to deal with this in a secular manner. We need to deal with the realities of the legislation that have been passed, the despotism that have been practiced on our young men and is still being practiced, and get them to a sanctuary where they can develop their skills and be productive members of the society.
And that will include
the whole community.
The whole community, the church is included.
You read Article 9.
They can be sent on every corner, just like we got liquor stores on every corner.
They can help if they want to.
All right, let me move on. I'm running short of time. Let me go to Taylor at 239-1310. Taylor, you got about a minute.
Yeah, I got a question for him. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, and do you believe in me?
I believe in one God, and I believe we love and adore one God, and we believe in His Son Jesus Christ as our wayshore.
But God will be done.
Amen.
All right, let me go to Kalincia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. At 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing? I just have a question. When I was growing up in 14, we had a program called the iNet, what helped with jobs, and we could get that back in the community. That would greatly help the young youth.
What was the name of the program?
iNet. It's a program IDOT, and it was a program through the governor's commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that through the mayor's, and they was paying us. We go to the parks, and we would clean up and, you know, go to the nursing home and help with, you know, taking the trash out, helping with the community, and they were paying us. So at 14, that was a job that we did. So
okay.
I understand why the community is kind of offset, but if we could get that program back, it would better the youth in having structure out here. It would give them something to have some type of other idea other than want to be in the street.
All right. All right. I appreciate that. Let me go to Patricia at 239-1310. Patricia, got 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Larry?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just, I've been listening to the show today, and I'm just wondering, do you have someone working with you? You may have a lot of good ideas, but Do you have somebody who's working with you to help you in being able to communicate in the public realm with officials and stuff so that you won't have such definite statements such as hate and raggedy?
I won't work.
I'm not trying to, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Let me finish.
Let her finish.
And I'm not trying to offend you or anything, but, you know, even if you're meaning one thing, but if you have a very hard, forward, aggressive statement, then you could actually cause yourself to not get ahead.
All right, Larry, let me let him respond.
I'm not worried about getting ahead, ma'am. I'm worried about getting this city back on course and off the course of despotism. And according to what I do, is immaterial to the fact that this city needs to be changed from its present course. Now, whoever do that, God bless them. I hope I can do it. But I'm not changing a thing I do.
Hold on, Patricia, because I'm running up against the clock, and I need to give him an opportunity to close us out. So, because I'm really running up against the clock, because you raised some very, very good points. Larry Vaughn, our standard question, and I'm not sure you can answer it the way that candidates normally would, but we ask it of every candidate, and that is, if people want more information about your campaign or want to get a hold, how do they get a hold of you?
They can just go on the website over at Myler's and register to vote. This is where I'm leading them to. They'll see my contact information at that place. But we need to register to vote. We don't need to sit around here and allow our city to be overtaken by these renegades and driven into a state of further despotism. Amen.
He is Larry Vaughn. He is running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. Thanks very much. Always good to see you, Larry. Thank you very much for being here. Tomorrow, one of the Republican candidates for mayor of Indianapolis, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, will be here with us live in our 2 p.m. hour. Joel Hogsett, another one of the Democratic candidates, will be with us on Thursday at 2. And then Olgin Williams, the Republican deputy mayor of Indianapolis, will be with us on Friday. I'm Amos Brown. Tomorrow also. Larry's going to be listening in our first hour because the folks from Indy 11, the soccer team that wants the $80 to $100 million soccer field, they'll be here to try to explain that in our 1 o'clock hour.
They need to be crucified on
I'm Amos Brown. Have a great... Calm down. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.